3 tonight. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read probably a pretty familiar passage of Scripture here and give maybe a few thoughts. Keep your Bibles handy. We'll look at several different Scriptures here. But some things I was, Lord, I guess kind of put on my heart and was thinking about. It's kind of odd not being in any kind of series right now, not preaching through a Bible, not preaching through a book or preaching through any kind of series. I do that so much. I think I feel like the Lord leads me to do that a lot. And so we're kind of not right now. I'm kind of praying for direction, what Lord have us to preach next. And so you can pray with me about that, but it kind of feels a little different to not be bound to a text. And so anyways, you pray for us, Lord, to lead us. But I do feel like Lord put these thoughts on my heart, and I do believe they'll be a blessing and help to us in these days. Maybe what we're going to do with tonight has something to do with the time of year that we're in, with election coming up and things like that. Maybe that's why I've been thinking about this, but I don't know. Anyways, Philippians 3, look in verse number 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Of course, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost here, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So this is not what I'm preaching tonight, but just a few thoughts, a few things we see just in that verse alone. First of all, the Apostle Paul is wanting to know him. He's wanting to know the Lord in terms of really know him, draw close to him and know him. And there are things involved with knowing the Lord. First of all, he wants to know him and the power of his resurrection, and that's great. I mean, we all want to know the power of his resurrection, and if we're saved, we, you know, in one sense, do know the power of his resurrection. But then he also said, in the fellowship of his sufferings. I tell you, the way that we really know Christ is to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't really grow and identify with Christ outside of suffering. Suffering's kind of a forgotten part of the Christian life, but it's one of the most major parts of the Christian life. I mean, anyone who's done anything for God, been used of God in any capacity, has always gone through a lot of suffering. And you will see that. And it just stands to reason that the ones that really haven't been through much of any suffering tend to not be the ones that are used. Now, I know that's completely backwards from what's preached in modern Christianity and the modern church, where, you know, if you do good and you love the Lord, he's going to bless you and all things will be great. But that's really not what the Bible teaches. And I remember Brother Lynn Martin several years ago when I was down there. Of course, now the Lord has greatly blessed them, and when he was pastoring that church down there, it was a real big church. They took real good care of him, and they drove a real nice vehicle. They had a Cadillac Escalade, actually, really, really nice, that I think someone bought them, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe the church bought for them or something. Anyways, but I remember him talking about sufferings one time, and he had made mention of that vehicle they drove, and he said, I know probably people see us roll up in a big, fine car, and they think, man, these people got it made, you know, they've never been through anything. And you would think that if you didn't know them, but if you know them, you know they've lost a son, you know, they've lost a child, they had their house destroyed in Katrina, Brother Lynn had a brain aneurysm, almost killed him, he's had all kinds of attacks and all kinds of things happening in the town there where they're at, just as a pastor, all kinds of problems in the church. I mean, really, there's a lot I could tell you. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying, and he's been greatly used of God, but he's also gone through sufferings. And that's how we know the Lord. We know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. But anyways, he said, being made conformable unto his death, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so here we have arguably one of the greatest Christians that's ever walked the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul. You mean, you talk about somebody that's been greatly used of God. You look at his life, you'll see sufferings. Talk about sufferings. And he was greatly used of God, but he also suffered greatly. But he's arguably one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the earth. Wrote well over half the New Testament. You know, planted most of the early churches. I mean, just really greatly used. And yet, this man, who's been, you know, such a tremendous man of God, been greatly used of God, says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I don't see that I've arrived yet, is what he's saying. I've not arrived yet. I've got a long ways to go, is what he's saying. And he's saying, I've not apprehended. Matter of fact, he said, I'm still reaching forth. He said, I'm still pressing on. He said, I'm forgetting the things behind. I'm reaching forth those things that are before. Verse 12, he said, I follow after that I may apprehend. In other words, I'm still following hard. I'm still chasing after. I'm still pursuing, righteousness and pursuing Christ. I'm still following hard after, trying to do better and better and better. And so, in other words, Paul probably was the great man he was and was so great used of God because he had that mentality, because that was his mentality. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. That the closer to God we get, the further from the Lord we see that we are. And the more perfect we get, the more imperfect that we see we are. The person that you cannot help is the person that don't see like there's anything wrong with them. I mean, if they don't see their problem, you can't help them. I mean, you can tell them their problem flat out. This is what's wrong with you. But if they can't see it, as far as they're concerned, there's nothing wrong, right? And that's the way it is for lost people. If a lost person, and I've said it 100 times, if a lost person does not realize they're lost and needs a Savior, they could not care less. Jesus loves them. They could not care less. Jesus will save them, because in their mind, there's nothing to be saved from, right? And as God's people, if we're not careful, we get that way too. We kind of get to the kind of a little higher plane. We get to feel like we've arrived. And there's really nowhere else to go. If we're not careful, what we do is we slack off. We get lazy in our Christian life. And so what made Paul great, what has made anybody usable for the Lord, is the fact that they continue following on, continue following forward. And so I guess if I was to title this message or these simple thoughts tonight, I want to preach on moving forward. Moving forward. And I think, as I said earlier, I think maybe what's got me thinking about these things is maybe election time, because politicians are always talking about moving forward, you know, when there's an election time. If you get me elected, you know, I'll move the country forward, right? When none of them ever move the country forward, hardly, you know. But I'm thinking about whenever Hillary Clinton ran in 2016, I guess it was the last election cycle. I remember her little, the logo or whatever for her, campaign was that H, you know, and in the middle of that H, the little bar that came across in the H was, so the H was in blue, but then it had the bar that came across and it was a red arrow, right? You know, indicating that she's going to move us forward, right? And that's what they all talk about. That's what you hear. You're going to hear in debates and things, they're going to be talking about moving us forward and all those things. Well, the country may or may not move forward. It doesn't look like it's moving in the right direction right now, for sure. But I do want us to know, as God's people, that we can move forward. No matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter where we are in the timeline of prophecy, no matter what, how good or bad the nation or society is doing, you know, really, there's nothing that would ever stop us from moving forward with the Lord. Nothing. I mean, do you realize that? In a way, it kind of is almost like, as Christians, we're kind of invincible in that regard. Because, you know, the only thing that holds us back from moving forward and apprehending and attaining, you know, what Paul was wanting to attain. You know what the only thing that stops us from doing that is us. There's no outside circumstance. There's no outside, you know, thing that hinders us or stops us. At the end of the day, the only thing that slows us down is us. Gets us off track is us. The world can't stop us. The world can't stop the church. The devil can't stop us. Can't stop the church. Can't stop us from growing, drawing close to the Lord. The world, the flesh, the devil cannot stop any of those things, but we allow them to sometimes. Most of the time. And so, I just want to deal with, look at a few ways, and keep your Bible handy. We're going to look at several scriptures, but I want to look at about five or six different ways that we can move forward with the Lord. How to move forward in the Lord. I feel like some saved people, and maybe more than I realize, feel like some Christians feel stuck in their Christian life. And I feel like some are stuck. I feel like they're, you know, you remember back when we first got saved, how excited you were and how it seems like you're growing. And like, it's like everywhere you look, you see the Lord. And like whenever you read the Bible, it's like the Lord's speaking to you and every message is just for you. And church is exciting and serving the Lord is exciting. And everything the church is doing is exciting. And you want to be involved in all of it. And you want to be at all the meetings. And you want, I mean, you just want to get all you can. But then a little time goes by. And it's like it doesn't have the same luster that it used to have. Like it's just not the same as it was. Now, we understand that's got to happen. And by the way, I think it's even spiritual that it doesn't, we're not always on a mountaintop all the time, because if that were the case, we'd be walking by sight, right? I mean, we'd be doing it because it feels good. Lord is wanting us to walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we just keep doing what we're supposed to do when the feelings are gone. Amen? But no doubt people get to the place where they feel stuck. Like I haven't, you know, like it's like you haven't moved forward. You haven't gained any ground. Some people in days, weeks, months, or even years. It's like if you look back and it's like I'm in the same spot spiritually that I was this time last year. I'm at the same spot I was spiritually right now as I was this time 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Hey, that's bad news if that's the case. That's really bad news. Now, it's very important that we take inventory on those things and we be honest with ourselves and get serious about these things. Listen, that's the only way we're going to make it in these last days. We're not going to keep standing. We're not going to make it in these last, as bad as things are getting, as bad as sin is getting, as much as wickedness is abounding, we're not going to make it if we don't keep moving forward, if we don't keep pursuing and apprehending. If we look at our spiritual life, and we take a real serious look inward and say, I'm right where I was however long ago, and I've not moved forward any spiritually. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. And you're headed for a fall. Because you're never sitting still. You're never sitting still. Sometimes, you know, you can think, well, I'm just sitting still. I'm not moving backwards. I'm not moving forward. I'm just sitting still. Well, the fact is, if you think you're sitting still, you're really moving backwards. You're not ever just sitting still, being still. What you'll do is you'll get stagnant. You'll get stale. You're really moving backwards, is the fact. So if we're not moving forward, we're not going to make it. So according to the Bible, I think there are some ways to really move forward. Okay? Now, you're not going to hear any presidential candidates say this stuff, but you'll get it from the Bible. Okay? So this is how you can, regardless of all the circumstances, you and I can move forward in these ways. And by the way, a lot of people, I think they feel depressed, feel helpless, feel hopeless, because they're just not going anywhere. There's nothing in their life they're pursuing. They're just floating through life, you know. And they look around, it's like, well, is that all there is to it? Is this all there is to it? Well, it's not all there is to it, but you've got to be pursuing the right things, okay? Now, the church is made up of people. The church is made, it's not a building, it's made up of people. And since a church is made up of people, the church will only go as far as the people go. Do you realize that? Our church here, Unity Baptist Church, as a whole, collectively, we're only going to go as far as you go. We're only going to be as spiritual as you are. Of course, everything rises and falls on leadership. I believe that with all my heart. But the fact is, there's not a person in here tonight that won't stand before God and give an account to, you know, in regards to the rest of the church for where they were, how they lived their life. Because a church is people. A local body is made up of people. And so the church is only as spiritual as the people are. Okay? So moving forward, these are some ways, Bible ways we can move forward, or we will move forward with God. So first of all, you must forget the past. If you're going to move forward with the Lord, you and I must forget the past. He says that in verse 13 in this passage. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He's forgetting the past. We cannot live in the past and keep moving forward. Okay? Now, there's two things in the past that we've got to forget and cut the ties on if we're going to keep moving forward. First of all, we can't move forward on past victories. Now, we can look back and praise the Lord for past victories. We can look back and we can maybe glean some hope and glean some encouragement from the victories we've seen in days gone by. And we can look back and see what the Lord has done. We can rejoice in those things. And that's a good thing. You know, the Lord commanded the children of Israel at different times to set up and build memorials so that they would remember the victories and remember the things that the Lord had done. However, you can't live today on the victories of yesterday. We can look back and we can remember those things and praise the Lord for it, but if we're not careful, we live in the old days. We live in the good old days when things were always better back then than what they are today. And some people are that way. They have seen the Lord do things in the past and the Lord do great things in the past and praise the Lord for it. But as far as they're concerned, it'll never be, no matter what happens, it'll never be as good as it was back then. And so we've got to get past that. We've got to move forward. Praise the Lord for past victories collectively as a church and in the nation, all those things, and even in our own lives. Praise the Lord for that. But if we're going to move forward, we got to get our eyes on the future. Realize that even though we've seen great victory, we still haven't arrived yet. We've yet to attain. We have yet to apprehend, right? So we can't move forward on past victories, but we can't move forward on past defeats either. See, this is worse than the victories. A lot of folks really let the defeats get them down. They go through one thing and they don't make it. They don't do right. They fall flat, whatever. And as far as they're concerned, they can never try it again because they've already tried it once and it was a big mess. And that defeat, the devil will hang that thing over their head and never let them get over that, never let them get past that. And they will just hold on to that thing. Listen, if we're going to see God work in this day, if we're going to move forward spiritually, no, we may not see the big revivals of days gone by. We may not see all the people get saved. But you and me, we can move forward with the Lord. We can experience the power of His resurrection. We can experience the fellowship of His sufferings and all the blessings He has for His people. We can have that, but we've got to move forward. And so we've got to move past the victories and then move past the defeats too. Don't let the defeats get you down and keep you from moving forward with the Lord. So what if you messed up one time? Repent. Confess it to the Lord. Get that thing right for whatever reason, you know, whatever reason it was you messed up. Confess to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. And pick up and keep on going, man. I heard one preacher preach a message on the key to the Christian life is get up. That's what he preached on. Get up. He said that's the key to the Christian life. If you fall down, you get back up and keep on going again. And so that is how we move forward. One of the ways is by forgetting the past. The next way is in Matthew chapter 18. I want you to turn over to Matthew 18. I'm going to try to get to all these tonight, but I'm going to have to be quick. So listen quick and I'll preach quick. Matthew chapter 18 and look in verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft Shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now that's usually where we stop reading. At least whenever it's being preached, you know, or it's being referenced whenever somebody's preaching. That's usually the verses we get. Forgive 70 times seven. And that's true, by the way. But let's keep reading, because the Lord gives a parable here. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called unto him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was very wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So that parable really takes it a good bit further than just those two verses. I mean, those two verses are true. How many times should we forgive somebody? Well, the answer is not keeping track, you know, to make sure we forgive them 7 times 7. The principle is that we should just forgive. We should just be forgiving people. But then the parable kind of exposes some more things to us. We have this man that owes this Lord 10,000 talents that he gets forgiven of. It's an astronomical amount of money. I've heard and read before like how much that is in today's money terms, but it's an unreal amount of money that he supposedly owed this guy. And he has compassion and forgives him. But then he goes out and has a fellow servant that owes him a minuscule amount in comparison to what he owed. And he has the guy thrown in prison. He will not forgive him. He will not have patience with him. He wants it right now. He wants it today. He will not forgive. So what I want you to see, though, is that in verse 34 and 35, it said his Lord, when he found out about this, he was very wroth with him. That's very, very angry. Okay, so much so that he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. And then this is what he says. He said, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother's trespasses. So how are we going to move forward? Bible ways to move forward with the Lord. First of all, forget the past. Second of all, forgive persecutions. Unforgiveness will stop your spiritual walk in its tracks. You will get no further spiritually with the Lord as long as you are harboring unforgiveness towards someone in your heart. Regardless of if they were right or you were right or they were wrong or you were wrong, it doesn't matter. If you are not forgiving someone, you will get no closer to the Lord. Matter of fact, this parable helps us to realize some things. Not only does it just stop you where you are spiritually, according to this Bible, you're under the judgment of God. That's what he said there in verse 34. He gave the parable and said that Lord was wroth with that man. Then he said, so is the Heavenly Father going to be with you if you're unforgiving. So God is wroth with you. He is very angry with somebody who doesn't forgive. We think unforgiveness isn't a big sin. It's not like one of the five big ones, you know, that we always preach. And so as far as we're concerned, A little unforgiveness isn't that big of a deal, because nobody sees it unless you tell somebody. Nobody knows about it, and you can still put on your Sunday best and come to church with a smile on your face and sing the songs and look real spiritual to everybody. The whole time you're under the judgment of God, and nobody knows it but you and God. So he's very wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. All those things he said God will do with one of you or me if we harbor unforgiveness. So it's not just that we won't move forward. It's that we're going to be under the judgment of God. I tell you, it seems to me the ones that I can think of that just stick out in my mind as far as like at least church people, maybe saved people, but the ones in my mind that stick out as like what seem like the most really miserable in their Christian walk, generally the ones that have unforgiveness in their heart. Somebody's done them wrong somewhere down the road, or there's been some bad situation that's come up somewhere down the road, and they probably legitimately were done wrong, but they've never forgiven that thing. They hold on to that thing, and in their heart, they've not physically thrown those people into prison like what happened in this parable, but in their heart they have. See, unforgiveness for somebody puts them in a prison in your heart. And you know how you do it? You put them in a prison with the silent treatment, and you put them in a prison with spiteful actions towards them. And sometimes people don't even know that they're not forgiven. You know, they've moved on and don't even think about it anymore. And you, in your heart, you've got them in a prison, and you are the one that's miserable. You're miserable. And God's angry with you, and God's judging you, and God's dealing with you. And I've seen people so miserable, they can't figure out why they can't get victory in their Christian life anymore. And they can't figure out why it seems like it's such a drag to serve the Lord. Why don't they enjoy serving the Lord? And the whole time it's unforgiveness. You will not move forward without forgiving others of their faults. By the way, you won't move forward if you don't forgive yourself of your past failures. You can forgive others of their faults. Forgive yourself of your past failures. You just got to forgive and forget and move on, man. By the way, forgiveness doesn't mean going on like nothing ever happened. That's not what it means. If somebody does you wrong, if Brother Ernest has got terrible character, he's like a con artist, and he embezzles all kinds of money from me. Like he steals like $1 million from me. I'll probably never see $1 million in my whole lifetime. Yeah, right. But if I had it, Brother Ernest stole it. And so he's a real shyster, you know. He's a con man. I can forgive him, but that doesn't mean I let him start keep handling my funds, right? That doesn't mean like he's still my banker. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you don't move forward with wisdom with somebody who maybe has bad character, but it does mean you forgive and you let it go. You let God have it. And you just let God deal with it. You don't hold on to that thing anymore. Okay? So you must forgive persecutions. Then, number three, you must have faith in God's promises. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know this verse. Verse number 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Some people will never move forward with God because they will not put faith in His promises. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But they don't think God can do that. They think God's got to have their help. And so they're all, instead of serving the Lord and seeking God and His righteousness first, they're all caught up trying to make sure all these things are added to them. Like they've got enough money to pay the bills and got everything that they need, physically speaking. And seeking first the kingdom of God and His right is kind of on the back burner. And that's just kind of something they can do when they've got time. And so they're all caught up doing the things of the world, carnal things over here. They never will with God. Because they don't think that God really will add all these things to them if they'll seek Him first. See, that's an exceeding great and precious promise, is it not? You know, I mean, and all through the Bible, all through the world, they really don't think that God will make a way of escape in a temptation. Even though that's what He said, even though He promised that. You know what I mean? All these promises in the Bible. People don't have faith in His promises. I told somebody a while back, dealing with them about their salvation. They said they were a believer, but they just simply did not believe. In a real bad situation, real tough situation they need to get out of, and you tell them, you know, this is what you need to do. And then you've got all these excuses why I can't do this and why it won't work out. If I do that, it won't work out. If I do that, it won't work out. This won't, you ain't going to make it. And I just finally told the girl, I said, listen, you're not a believer. You say you're a believer, but you're not a believer because you don't believe that you can do right and God can provide for you and make a way for you to do right. See, it's just a fact. God has never asked us to do anything in this Bible that He will not make a way for us to do it and provide for us while we do it. It just ain't going to happen. We've got exceeding great and so our faith has got to be in those promises. We will never move forward if we don't just read what the Bible says, read the promise. And of course, every promise is conditional. Read the promise, read the conditions, and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do that and trust God to make a way. Amen. If you want to move forward, put faith in what God says He'll do. Amen. By the way, you can't get anything done with God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we've got to walk by faith. Have faith that God will do what He says He'll do. Then number four, very quickly. You must have faith in God's promises. Number four, you must find your place. You must find your place. Romans chapter 12. You can turn there, but you might not make it before I start reading it because I'm just going to read it. You might want to write it down and read it later. But we all know this passage. We at least know the first few verses. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the verse we know, right? We know verse 2, right? First two still, two. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We know that verse as well. We don't normally get further than that. Verse 3, though, says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Talking about getting in your place, finding your place. Some people take they're above doing certain things. He says, don't think more highly than you ought to think. He says, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good, and so on. So he starts dealing with spiritual gifts. Within the body. He says, basically, everyone's got a different gift. What you need to do is find your place and get to doing what God has gifted you to do. In other words, find your place. It may seem small in your estimation, may not seem very big, but I tell you this, it is sacred in God's eyes. If God has gifted you with a tremendous ability to very diligently clean the bathrooms at the church, and you're very good at that, you ought to do it with everything you've got to the glory of God, because in God's eyes, it is sacred. And you will be rewarded just like the man that has preached to thousands and seen thousands of souls get saved. Because by the way, the church doesn't run smoothly and do all the things that we do for the glory of God, getting the gospel out, without everybody doing their job. And some of those jobs are little jobs. For the person that might be here who isn't able to give very much to missions, maybe gives $5 a week or $5 a month, that is sacred in God's eyes. And He's told you to do that. And so you do it with the best of your ability and with a cheerful heart, knowing that if it's what God told you to do and you're doing it, you will receive a reward for it, and the gospel is going out because of it. Listen, we would not be able to do what we do without everybody doing some of even the little things. Amen? Amen. Straightening the books at church doesn't seem like a big deal, but if it's something that God has got somebody doing, that's a big deal to God. Kelby straightens the books. That's a big deal to God. Amen. So find your place, whatever that is. And it may be multiple places. It may have gifted you in several different ways. But find your place. Then you must follow the precepts. Follow the precepts. Dealing with following the Word of God. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That's what we're talking about, moving forward. That ye may grow thereby. You'll never move forward without being in this book and doing what it says. And you'll never move forward if you're just a hearer only and not a doer. You must follow the precepts, and last of all, you must be forgiven and pardoned. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what He said. We'll never move forward with God with sin in our lives. Unconfessed sin, harboring sin. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So evidently, harboring sin in our heart does affect us somehow. Having sin in our lives that we're continuing in, that we know it's not right, but we're doing it anyways, evidently it does affect us somehow. Hebrews 12:7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So evidently sin does affect us somehow. We'll never move forward with God with sin in our lives. Unconfessed sin. You say, well, we all sin every day. Well, yeah, we do all sin every day. But there's also gross sins. There's also sins that the Holy Spirit deals with us about, and we intentionally do them anyways, even though we're convicted about it. We're convicted about it when we're doing it, while we're doing it, leading up to the Lord is dealing with us and saying, you need to go a different way. You need to take a different road. You need to go, you know, you need to abandon this. And we just go ahead for one reason or the other, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. We've got those sins that we know. You know what those sins are going to do? They're going to keep us from moving forward. And they're not just going to stop us in our tracks. We're actually moving backwards. It looks like we're not moving forward, but we're actually moving backwards. How are we going to move forward? We're going to move forward by forgetting the past, by forgiving persecutions, by having faith in God's promises, finding our place, following the precepts, and being forgiven and pardoned. We'll never move forward with sin in our lives. Nothing can stop. The blessing is that nothing can stop you from moving forward with God. Coronavirus can't stop it. Democrats can't stop it. Republicans can't stop it. No dictator or army in the world can stop us from moving forward with God. So that's the blessing. The thing to really think about, though, is that the church will only go as far as you go, because we're a church of people. So it'd be real good to examine ourselves and see where we are spiritually today compared to where we were, yeah, a year ago or 5 years, 20 years ago. If we've not moved forward, it's time to start taking that thing very seriously. May God help us to move forward, to apprehend and attain. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with your word. Thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would take this word and use it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all, Lord, to, Lord, examine our lives, examine ourselves, Lord, and see where we are. Be honest with ourselves. Lord, I know that if we approach you honestly and sincerely, Lord, I believe with all my heart, your spirit, Lord, will reveal to us, Lord, where we are spiritually compared to where we have been. And, Lord, will show us the areas that we need to move forward. Show us the areas that we need to correct, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to take it seriously, Lord, knowing that really these things are the only thing that's going to matter in eternity, Lord. Nothing else is going to matter. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, draw us close to you, bless us now as we go our to our homes tonight. Prepare our hearts for what you want to do this coming Lord's Day. I pray that you'll bless our Bible study tomorrow night. Bless our, Lord, all the requests that have been mentioned tonight. Bless our public ministry, Lord, as we're out on the street trying to take a bold stand for Jesus in these days. I pray that you'll bless it, bless us for it, and use it in a mighty way. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity. Lord, bless us now. In Christ's name, amen.